Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want, so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
I'm joined by Hall of Famer John Smoltz. Smoltzy, tell me this. What's harder, winning a Cy Young or an Emmy Award?
Oh, man. Winning a Cy Young. It takes a lot longer to happen. You know, it's funny when you mention something like that. I just go back to all those years of being predicted to win and just feeling like a failure. But in 96, fortunately, I was able to at least get that off my back because that was starting to bother me.
Download the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
We are halfway through our Monday night into Tuesday morning show. If you're waking up on your Tuesday, ow. If you're still awake Monday into Tuesday like us, well, welcome to the club. We've been doing this, or I've been doing this, on this show in this time slot for the better part of 10 years. It wears on you. It's funny because when I first started, I would get people who would write into me on social media and tell me that they understood they've been doing overnights or the graveyard shift or even second shift, because a lot of people on the West Coast will do second shift and tune in when they're done. Yeah, it makes you old faster. We even had one time a listener send us a column or an article about how working overnights is really bad for your health and listing all the ways that it's bad for your health. Which I can attest to. It definitely can be if you allow it to be. So it took a concerted effort and some discipline for me to avoid those pitfalls or climb out of those pitfalls after I had fallen into them. Another year and a half left on the contract, and then it will be exactly 10 years in this time slot after hours on CBS Sports Radio. No idea what happens after that. I really have zero clue. But I know the time slot has connected me with a lot of people who come from various walks of life all over the country, north of the border, into Canada, as well as internationally. And it's been a great privilege, she said, to host the show. And glad that we've made it our own for, as I say, the better part of 10 years. It's After Hours on our Facebook page, as well as on Twitter, After Hours CBS. Our Ohtani question, with 20 days to go until baseball's trade deadline. If you're the Angels, would you trade him? Would you trade him and get everything you could for him, knowing you're only going to have one shot to trade him? Or would you keep him, believing that your best shot to win is to re-sign him, but also recognizing that he's so good in every way for your franchise, including the bottom line. So that's our poll. It's not in poll form on Facebook, but it is in poll form on Twitter, so check that out. Before we get to some of the other baseball, which we will, oh my gosh, my favorite thing about the All-Star festivities is always seeing the players with their kiddos. It just melts my heart. Randy Arozarena's little daughter posing at home plate the way that she did when they were in the middle of the home run derby. Yeah, adorable. They're real cute. I'm really glad, too, that Clayton Kershaw got a chance to take his son, Charlie, because Charlie was so disappointed when his dad hit the IL and wasn't going to be able to pitch in the All-Star break. So we'll get to a little more of that coming up. We've got the starters for both the AL and the NL, and I'm really looking forward to the game itself. And we'll get back to the Northwestern story. If you want to know the details, sometimes I'm not a huge fan of sharing the details about these types of investigations and these types of different stories that come out of sports. You know, we don't always keep it light here, but we tend to keep it on the lighter side, a little more irreverent and not take ourselves too seriously. The details are disturbing. And while it's one former player who outlines his experience and gives some fairly graphic details, the hazing itself was corroborated by a dozen or more players. And the investigation that Northwestern commissioned in no way indicated that the hazing did not happen. Nah, they acknowledged a culture of hazing. The investigation itself was about whether Pat Fitzgerald knew or should have known. And I say, ignorance is no excuse in this case. And I'm not telling you Coach Fitzgerald did not know. I think in many cases, when you have a coach like Fitzgerald, who is in charge of pretty much everything that happens in his program, even if he took the approach of willful ignorance, meaning I don't want to know, don't ask, don't tell type of a thing, that's still on him. Because he should have known. By virtue of his position, because he makes the big bucks, he should have known. He should have made it his business to find out. Now, according to the one student who remains anonymous, the one that went to the Daily Northwestern, whose story has been printed all over the place and has been told now, he swears that Fitzgerald knew and that everyone in the program knew. And he gives a couple of reasons why, which you can read if you want to. Other players do dispute. Former players do dispute what this one guy is saying. But it's not as though you're getting people, so many people who are coming out and expressing disbelief about the hazing itself. So again, if the only question is whether or not Fitzgerald knew, I still say it should cost him. I still say the details that have come out and the fact that the hazing is acknowledged by more than one person, by a dozen different guys at least, knowing not only that it's against school rules, it's against conference rules, it's been outlawed for the most part by the NCAA and can even cross the line into a criminal situation. Every coach should make it his business to find out if his players are engaging in it. And beyond that, I'll say the same thing that I said about AJ Hinch and the Astros cheating. Even if you don't know, and that's a big if, even if you don't know, your players, your athletes, I know they're professionals, but they should know that won't be tolerated. I don't know if it's happening, but if it is and I find out, you're going to pay for it. You let them know it's not acceptable. And if you have to put your assistant coaches on the job, that when I worked for a college basketball team going back before my jump here to CBS Sports Radio, I remember that the head coach sent her assistant coaches to do the dirty work. Now, in her case, it was making sure players were in class on the morning after a road trip. She sent her assistant coaches to check on them, make sure they were in bed by curfew. It wasn't her doing it, but it was commissioned by her. And everybody knew that if you broke the rules, you were going to have to face her. She was tough. Pat Fitzgerald should have set up that kind of a culture. Unless, of course, he was fine with the hazing and didn't care, which to me is despicable. there are other ways to initiate people into a club and let them know they're part of the family and they've made it beyond sexual abuse and sexual assault. That's just, it's gross. It's demoralizing. It's a crime. And these are kids. In some cases, as we know, it can be so traumatic and so devastating that young people can turn to drugs, alcohol. If the experience itself is so tough and so traumatic, it can ruin a person's life if they don't get help. But even sometimes if they do, I'm sure we all have friends, maybe even family members who've gone through some type of sexual abuse or a sexual assault. At the very least, it can cause mental and emotional trauma. And the impacts can be lifelong. It's not a joke. It's not funny. And any coach that knew of it and allowed it should never be allowed to coach again. Even if Fitzgerald did not know, it should have been his business. He should have made it his business to make sure his locker room and his assistant coaches were vigilant about it. His captains should have been vigilant about it. They should have all known that if it happened under Fitzgerald and he found out, there would be repercussions. Yeah, not every coach can know everything that happens. It's impossible with a football team that size. But according to some of the witness testimony and some of the details that have come out, it's not like it was a secret. I'm sure there are people who feel sorry for Pat Fitzgerald. It's all in good fun. This is how you're one of the boys. Nah, we're past that. We know too much in our society to think this is just a joke. If you're going to feel bad for someone or something, feel bad for a culture that in his football program that may have or reportedly allowed this type of hazing to flourish. We'll see whether or not he coaches again. You know that we're a society of second and third and fourth and fifth chances, especially if you're really good at what you do in the sports world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So you can find me on Twitter or Facebook if you want to weigh in. As we're on the eve of the home run, we'll see. It might be another home run derby. The All-Star Game in the wake of the home run derby. This is a quieter week. But I love it because we get to focus on this one game and the star power, megawatt star power. 47,000 fans there in attendance for the Home Run Derby. I've heard it's a much cheaper ticket than the actual game, so there's that. You get to see incredible power, star power. It was kind of fun to see these guys hanging out on the couches. Did you see how around, like from the first baseline up the third baseline and around the home plate area, they had couches where they could sit with their families, other teammates. Mookie Betts' wife was there and had an adorable little newborn with her. Yeah, I love seeing them all with their kiddos and in a family setting, which is so different than what we're used to, right? And that's what Clayton Kershaw had talked about. And actually, he says his son and Freddie Freeman's son, they're BFFs.
My oldest son, Charlie, he's 6. And so between him and Charlie Freeman, you know, they got a good tandem. So they'll be around hanging out. They'll maybe shag some BP today, too. So it's just a blast for them, though. And it's really fun for them to get to be a part of it and for me to watch. So, yeah, that's one of the best parts.
On SiriusXM MLB Radio and Seattle as the host city already getting Clayton's stamp of approval.
It's a great ballpark. I really do love Seattle. Just everything around it. We got to go to dinner last night on the water, and the ballpark, I think they did a great job. It's such a cool place, and I love pitching here too. So ton of fun all the way around, and it's not hot, which is nice too.
Clayton would have been a candidate to start for the National League, but got shuffled to the IL. Now, according to him, he didn't need to go on the IL. Maybe just needed to miss the one start and then have the All-Star break and recover, but the Dodgers needed the roster spot. Their pitching staff is a disaster. It's amazing that they are tied with the Diamondbacks in the NL West because their pitching staff is a disaster. All five starters on opening day have spent time on the DL. Oh, I did it again. The IL. Why do they have to change it? It's wrong. They're on the L because they're L's. Anyway, Clayton would have been a candidate to start. Instead, the starter for the National League comes from the Diamondbacks. Zach Gallen has an 11-3 record, an ERA just north of 3 with 125 strikeouts.
How much better could it get, really? But like you said, I felt like I was really close the last couple of years. Just, you know, for whatever reason, didn't make it. So I think this made up for it for sure. Like I said, it's an honor. So I'm just pumped. It's you know, I've worked hard, so I'm glad that, you know, finally, you know, something like this is happening.
Congratulations to Zach. And as for Gerrit Cole, it's a dream come true. He's 9-2, 2.85 ERA with 123 strikeouts. Remember, he played for the Astros, right? He was part of them winning the World Series. No, wait, was he with the team that won the World Series? Yeah, he was, with Justin Verlander. Yeah, the first time. So he was part of that. And of course, the manager, even though it wasn't his manager at the time, the manager of the AL comes from the Astros because Dusty Baker guided them to the World Series title last year. So I'm wondering if, even though Gerrit Cole had already departed to the Yankees, if maybe there was a soft spot for Gerrit Cole as the starter just because of the ties to Houston.
Guy's been here 5-6 times. About time he started one. and plus, you know, he's one of the best there is. And, you know, plus he wanted it. You know, a lot of guys, sometimes they might not want to pitch in this particular game, but, you know, he wanted to pitch. And, hey, man, if a guy like Gerrit Cole wants to pitch, I'll let him pitch.
It's just always something that I wanted to do, and I feel like, you know, I'm physically able to do it, and I got an opportunity, and thankful that Dusty selected me. You know, like, some of my fondest memories growing up, one of them is watching Pedro in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
Starting it, and I've been to a few of them, and you know, had the pleasure of watching some future Hall of Famers do it, and I've always been like, man, I really, really hope I could do that one day.
It's like voting for yourself in the school election for class president. You have to vote for yourself, right? Well, he's campaigning for himself. Love, love, love when Pedro Martinez started. Pedro's my all-time favorite pitcher in Major League Baseball. And then even last year, I still have the photo liked on my Twitter. Not on my thread, but on my Twitter. Clayton Kershaw starting in L.A., oh, what a moment that was. A little more from Dusty Baker, just because I love his perspective and because you can hear the joy that emanates from his voice. He tells MLB Network how much fun he has managing All-Star games.
It's not as pressurized as it once was, I think. Now it's become more of an exhibition game, but, you know, back a couple of years ago when it counted on it's going to have World Series implications on who's a home team, now that was pressure. And then when I managed my first one in Chicago, 2003, and I was just come off, you know, with the Giants, and, you know, there's pressure there too because, you know, people are like, you got to win the game, but you got to try to play guys, play everybody. But then I played everybody. And then lost, and they're like, well, you shouldn't have played everybody. You know, you should have went for the win. And so, you know, I hate guys that have to come for miles and miles around and don't get to play.
I hope MLB Network was expecting that reflective of an answer from Dusty Baker. Yeah, he's great. I'm so happy that he got his ring last year. And for that, he will be the manager of the American League team. The National League is managed by Rob Thompson of Philadelphia. Think about how his life has changed in the last year. He takes over as the interim manager in Philadelphia when Joe Girardi gets fired. They're games below 500. They're way back in the NL East. They put together a run. They get all the way to the World Series. They win the pennant in the NL. And while they come up short, they add Trey Turner. And now they put themselves in another hole they're trying to climb out of. But he's managing the National League All-Star team. He actually said, he and Dusty Baker were both interviewed. He said, number one goal, make sure nobody gets hurt. Could you imagine how the other managers would come down on you, even if it's a fluke thing? You jerk! You blah, 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 bleep! My guy, why didn't your guy get hurt?
Hey!
Oh, speaking of that, we'll have some QB news before the end of the hour. Did you all see that Victor Wembanyama has been shut down for the rest of Summer League? The Spurs have seen enough. They're okay. At this point forward, they saw 27 points, a dozen rebounds, 3 blocks in his second game. That's it. All we need to see. And he told us, too, on Sunday night in Vegas that he was exhausted the last month from the draft and the media responsibilities from New York to San Antonio to Vegas. He's worn out. He just wanted to sleep. Well, they are giving him what he wants. And they just want him to take a break and rest. But Wemby fever is real. And for that reason, part of our conversation with a San Antonio TV anchor who was tracking the buzz in Vegas around Wembanyama. And no, we're not going to go back to the Britney Spears thing. Even outside of the Britney Spears encounter, he is already a sensation and people want to be near him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
In the past month, I think basketball was in even 50% of my schedule. That was, you know, I can't stand it. I know it's a special moment in my life, but I'm glad it's over. Honestly, I just want to hoop. I just want to work out, lift, and because this is my life. Obviously, every first pick got to go through this. But yeah, it just makes me better for the future.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of French teenager Victor Wembanyama. Wemby fever is a real deal, though you won't get a chance to see him on the court again during Summer League. The Spurs have shut down their 7'5" center. 27 points, a dozen rebounds, 3 block shots in his second game in Las Vegas. And you heard him say there, that was Sunday night, how exhausted he is. He doesn't want to do the media stuff anymore. He just wants to hoop and lift and focus on the basketball part. And so he even indicated that he's going to be pretty quiet this next month or until training camp begins. I like what I've heard from him so far. He does not sound like a 19-year-old, but the Spurs have to protect their investment. They do. He's not going to all of a sudden learn everything he needs to in Summer League. He's playing against inferior talent, and he's playing against guys who are desperate to make a team, make a name for themselves. I wouldn't screw with my investment either. Not when he could potentially be the cornerstone of your franchise for the next 10 to 15 years if he stays healthy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Couple of quick minutes with Nate Ryan from San Antonio TV, Channel 5. He's a sports anchor. He was in Vegas tracking the circus around Victor Wembanyama, and I asked him, why does Wemby fit so well with the Spurs?
He fits with any team, just given his skill set and with how tall he is. But with the San Antonio Spurs, especially because you look at the Spurs' track record with international players. Tim Duncan was, you know, a guy from the U.S. Virgin Islands. And when you look at Tim Duncan, that's another thing. Duncan was the first ever number one pick to ever play in Summer League. And he was relatively schooled in Summer League when he played in 1997. He was dominated by Greg Ostertag of the Utah Jazz in 1997. He turned out pretty well. I mean, now his jersey's in the Raptors at, you know, the AT&T Center. He's in the Hall of Fame. But Tony Parker's a French player, just for one reference. I mean, he's going into the Hall of Fame himself. And Tony Parker, Victor Wembanyama are very close, and they've had a lot of conversations before even getting to San Antonio. There's pictures of Wembanyama wearing Tony Parker's jersey when he was a kid. Boris Diaw was a French player who had a lot of great role minutes through Spurs championship seasons. Patty Mills was from Australia. He came in, and, you know, he had no problem fitting into this culture. All these players who are coming from elsewhere, they, you know, come to San Antonio. Duncan, Parker, Manu Ginobili from Argentina, all those guys still live in San Antonio, and it's totally by choice. They found a home here, and, you know, they're still hanging around the facility. It's very much a melting pot of basketball here. And all those guys have been in Victor Wembanyama's ear, just not from a pressure standpoint, but just, hey, man, welcome to San Antonio. It's an easy place for, you know, you to adapt from. You get your privacy. You're not going out. Fans respect you in the sort of sense of, you know, being in the public. And it's a great place to fit in from. You know, you're cool with all the assistants. There's continuity with the coaching staff. Greg Popovich is, you know, over the age of 70, just signed a 5-year extension. You know, he's not going anywhere. It's very much a culture fit for Wemby. Obviously, the 5 championships are the marking point for it.
So what's the one big thing you learned coming out of Vegas, Nate?
That Victor Wembanyama is not just a basketball star, but he's a guy who's going to, you know, move – you know, shape culture. He's a cultural influence. He's on and off the court. He is going to impact the way people buy clothes, the way people travel, the way people watch the game. You know, he's got kind of the same aura that a LeBron James or that a, you know, Kevin Durant, but not even really Kevin Durant, where it's like, because Kevin Durant is, he's played for a lot of different teams. I can very much see Victor Wembanyama, especially being with the team he is. I see Victor Wembanyama being with the Spurs for 8-10 years, but also, you know, attracting fans from a whole new sphere that at the NBA that never knew they could reach. And he's got the cameras on him at all times, and like his jersey, I could tell you, like his jersey by far was the most populated out of anybody at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas. I'd be walking around, and I'd be like, oh, where are you from? And they're wearing a Wembanyama jersey. He's like, I'm from Boston. I'm from Hawaii. I'm from California. And I would literally be like, are you a Spurs fan? And they'd be like, not really. I just love Wemby. Like, I just want to see Wemby. I'm like, all right, yeah, that's cool. You don't even need to be. It's wearing a Wembanyama jersey. It's like, it's not even just being a Spurs fan. It's a fashion statement now. He's got that kind of aura about him because, A, you can't miss him with his size. But sure. B, you know, how the way he talks and the way he carries himself. He, you know, he doesn't shy away from big questions, but he's also not about, you know, he doesn't say things that, you know, people can sort of run with. I mean, the Britney Spears thing was just, that was something, he didn't even recognize what was happening there. It was just, he was, I guess, the wrong place at the wrong time. But the way he plays the game and just how different he is and how mature he is for his age, he's going to be somebody who, you know, he's got that LeBron James sort of effect where it transcends not only basketball, but culture as well.
Victor Wembanyama has got everything right in front of him. If he can stay healthy, if he can develop into the kind of basketball player for whom the Spurs will not only build their team around, but for whom the fans will show up and the buzz will remain. He's got to stay healthy. This was the same thing with Zion Williamson a couple of years ago. He's got to stay healthy. But man, he could be a game changer for the franchise, for the NBA in terms of expanding, reaching new people who are so intrigued they want to see what this guy can do on the court. And as Nate points out, and you can hear that whole conversation as part of our podcast. In fact, the link is up on both Twitter, After Hours CBS, and our Facebook page. This could transcend basketball. We're talking international cultures. We're talking a way to rope new fans and find new people who love the game and want to spend money on the game, which obviously is the bottom line. For reals, the bottom line. But yeah, it's all right there in front of him. He seems like he handles it so well. Pretty open and honest and authentic. I mean, he even said he felt like his initial debut stunk. He was real tired. I'm excited to see more of him, but he can't get hurt. So the Spurs are right in protecting him and shutting him down. Our question for you tonight is not about Wemby fever. It's about Ohtani and Showtime. And would you trade him if you or the Angels? The poll is up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter. And then our Facebook page, too. Glad to have you with us as we usher in a Tuesday morning. Straight ahead. Little QB news. Why? Oh, you know why. We're 2 weeks away from training camps. Oh, my gosh.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Back from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
Hand off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
In 2 weeks, NFL training camps. That's all I'm saying. In 2 weeks. This portion of the show is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Are you stuck in a timeshare and want out, out, out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. Dak Prescott. Oh, no. He's in his 30s now. Of course, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. said 24 is old, so I suppose that means 30 in quarterbacking is old, though these days quarterbacks don't get hit. He's passing on his knowledge. He's dropping some knowledge on kiddos this summer at camp.
When I come to this, yeah, I'm using this as a workout day and trying to make sure that I really just truly interact with each kid. And it's the game of football. I love it. I mean, I've loved this game since I was their age and love it the same way about to turn 30. So I think when you're out here having these different ages, you see what this game means. And so it's just fun, as I said, giving back. And I just like to interact and play the game with them.
Well, whether it's because you're turning 30 or because you're in year 8 of your NFL career, man, it's quite a tenure. The average NFL career doesn't even last 5 years, Dak Prescott.
I've always felt older, I guess. So, just being 30 doesn't necessarily bother me, but yeah, knowing that I am the old guy going into year 8, seeing some of the young guys, some of the rookies, just seeing, I guess, the difference in 8 years or not. And yeah, it's fun, though. It really is. It's fun. It's challenging at times, making sure that I stay connected, stay in the now, I guess what you mean and what's cool and what's not. And yeah, but this game is beautiful. And that's the point, is every time you get out here and you're in between the lines, it doesn't matter how old you are, you play this game like a kid.
I do appreciate what he says about, I've always felt old. Remember, he's lived a lot of life. He's lost his mom. He's lost brother. He's taking care of his family. He's been through a lot. He's been through some pretty serious injuries and missed time. He was forced into the starting role right away as a rookie when Tony Romo was hurt. He's lived a lot of life, and I can appreciate that football is his outlet and he wants to give back, but also that he feels a lot older than his age. Year eight, though, that's quite a tenure. We know that he will have a lot more responsibility as Mike McCarthy takes over play calling. Well, how do the Cowboys need to approach camp to get ready?
Just really understand the way the game's going to be called, understand who we are, and create an identity. I mean, when you switch play callers, that's a big point of that is you've got to get into that season before game one. You've got to know who you are and what you want to do and how you want to attack the defenses. And I think we've done a great job in just the spring and the offseason of getting an idea, but we've got to make sure we really button it in and define it once we finish with camp.
Let's go, Cowboys. Actually, I just love the fact that they're a polarizing team, that you either love them or you hate them. And in many cases, people root as hard for the Cowboys to fail as they root for their own teams to succeed.
Whoever it is, line them up.
That's how you know you've broken through and reached the upper echelon when it comes to franchises. And they are by far the most valuable NFL franchise with everything that Jerry Jones pours into it. Will this be the year they finally get back to a Super Bowl? The Atlanta Falcons, different division, not the NFC Beast. No, it's the opposite. The NFC South is a mess again this year. Remember last year, won by the Buccaneers as a... They had a losing record, and everybody in the division was still involved in the playoff race to the very end, including the Atlanta Falcons, who are turning their offense over to now second-year player Desmond Ridder. Grady Jarrett, one word to describe your new QB.
I'll say confident. Confident because it just seemed like the noise around him just hasn't affected him, you know, just the negative energy that's the people giving towards the decision that the team has made to go with him. I mean, he's so confident in the things that he's going to be able to do, and we confident in him, the things that we know he can achieve, because he showed the work day in and day out. You'll never that's how you want your quarterback, your leader to be, you know, unscathed and just the guy who's just locked in. So, I mean, I think confidence is going to be a great word. And I mean, because they're going to have the swagger and the talent and everything to match.
I would think Grady Jarrett on that defensive line for the Falcons could recognize the swagger, considering he played at Clemson. And then, of course, landed with the Atlanta Falcons. Now, Desmond Ridder is being handed the reins. We have yet to see much of him other than a limited sample size. I feel the same way about him as I do about Sam Howell in Washington. Those two franchises are making a drastic and bold move, and they are raving about their young QBs, as you hear with Grady on Sirius XM NFL Radio. But it's one thing to have all the lip service. It's entirely another to go out there and do it on a week-in, week-out basis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Some QB news. Peyton Manning, I mean, he never goes away, but I still haven't gotten to the point yet where I want him to go away. He's actually narrating this brand new documentary. It's a docuseries on Netflix called, what else? Quarterbacks. And this is the trailer, the teaser that Netflix has released.
Omaha!
All right, look, I'm a little biased. But for my money, there is simply not a harder position in sports than being an NFL quarterback.
Hey, 25, this is you!
Rising hot!
Oh, my God.
I mean, think about it.
I don't know what
else. As the quarterback, every single play, you're the focus.
Hey, 48, where you got? You got the 48.
You have to know everyone else's job just as well as your own.
You got these two over there.
Can't hear half the time, the weather's bad, you got 300-pound linemen trying to kill you. Win or lose, you are going to be front and center.
Great job!
You have to give credit when it's good, you have to take the blame when it's bad, you have to face the music when times are tough.
No one really to blame but myself.
And there's always someone waiting to take your spot.
Peyton Manning with a bit of a teaser there about this docuseries called Quarterbacks on Netflix. Now, Jay, it follows multiple QBs, right? Kirk Cousins, Patrick Mahomes, and Marcus Mariota.
Correct.
So I guess it runs the gamut because you have two quarterbacks who had very successful regular seasons, but the Minnesota Vikings tanked in the playoffs, whereas the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl. And then Mariota, who lost his job. So it really does run the gamut of the quarterback experience. Here's a little bit from Kirk and from Pat. Again, thank you to Netflix.
All right.
This is about as close as they'll ever get to crawling into our skin and seeing what it's like to truly live it on a day-in, day-out basis.
They don't know I watch tape! I got tape, bro! I got tape!
Everybody sees the game days. They don't see the day-to-day grind. They don't see how you have to manage playing football and being a dad and being a husband.
Fix the math, okay? Mm-hmm. Love you.
Mm-hmm. That was his wife, Brittany. You hear Pat with his wife, Brittany. Go out and kick some ass. Love you. Kirk Cousins and Patrick Mahomes, two of the quarterbacks, Marcus Mariota, the third. And I just looked it up. This is part of the Netflix write-up on the new series. Mariota struggles to hang on to a starting role while Mahomes is considered to be the best quarterback in the game. Cousins is an entrenched starter, but has yet to have an extended playoff run. Wow. As Manning told Netflix, Mahomes balled out. Kirk had a good year. Marcus is going to be back. I mean, even if it didn't feature Peyton Manning or have the narration of Peyton Manning, it'd be really intriguing to follow this trio of guys because their experiences were so different in 2022. I don't have Netflix, though. Anyone want to? Oh, no, wait a minute. Netflix is cracking down on people sharing passwords. I don't want to get Jay in trouble.
We're going to try.
Jay's family will get him. Jay's family has every single streaming service known to man.
A lot of them. Yeah.
And everybody is responsible for a different one, right? So that's kind of what my family has done. My niece has a couple. My younger niece has a couple. I've got a couple. My brother has some.
Just kind of community services. You pull them together.
Except that's what makes Netflix very angry.
Well, I think they'll be all right.
You wouldn't like them when they're angry. What if you get kicked off the platform because I'm watching the quarterback series on your password?
I guess it could happen, but it hasn't happened yet.
How many people are you sharing it with in your family?
I don't know. Lost count.
Oh, dear. All right. What's one more? The more the merrier.
Get in there.
Fida. It's work prep. I have to do it for work prep.
Strictly business.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.